As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. We're part of The Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as always, on Wednesdays, is my good friend Alex Spears. Alex, what's up?
Congratulations to the Kings, Summer League Champions, 2 years in a row.
That is something.
Did you see the Kings blog that made shirts that say, this is Rangs, and it has their two Summer League Championship banners?
That is good.
I kind of want to
actually
get one.
I really want one. That is hilarious. That is great. Good for the Kings. You know, you got to win something sometime, right? So that's great for the Kings. That's great.
Hey, I will say though, like, if there was, I know you're not supposed to take anything away from Summer League, but if I was going to take something away from Summer League in terms of like a player changing my mind about them, I think Davion Mitchell would be like close to the top, because now of a sudden I'm like much more excited about that choice for them, just seeing the way like all the different people he can guard. Like I'm kind of excited about their three guard lineup with Halliburton and Fox. Now
he looked great in Summer League. Like, he legitimately looked great and was the best defender in Summer League, and it wasn't very close. He popped as a defender, which, like, rarely do guys do that. Even like really good defenders, like, rarely just like pop as a defender. Yeah. You like watch him, you're like, oh, like, guys can't do much against him, which was, it was cool. It was really cool to watch. And he's small, like, he's definitely small, but he can use his first step and, you know, pretty good passer. And if he's just kind of like this auxiliary piece next to those other two guys, like, why not? Like, you're not trying to win the title or anything this year. Like, right. You're just like trying to be fun and frisky, right? So
they're definitely going to be way more. I mean, they were like one of the worst defensive teams in like the history of the sport last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's crazy. A lot of people commenting on last week's pod out. What one thing that I love about last week's pod is that it can forever be known as the Thursday pod, right?
Oh, that's
like
true.
We can just call it the Thursday pod from now on.
You can just blame it on that.
Just refer to it as the Thursday pod. So contrary to what people may believe, Alex and I actually had like a great time doing that pod. And I think it was like really fun and like a worthwhile show to do, because I do think that it kind of gives like the full circle view of like everything. Like, it encapsulates everything that everybody's thinking and feeling. So
also it's like cool. I'm realizing that I usually do these pods at like, you know, 6:30 to 7:30 a.m. and I just have like, I'm just in a different headspace at that time. If you catch me at noon, like, good luck, you know. Who knows who will come out?
Who knows? Oh, man. Let's go to the stream real quick before we get started. So our topic today is development, and specifically ranking the order of importance with regards to development for the players on the Thunder. So should be a fun little pod in the stream. Mike McGee is here, but couldn't stick around. We have Joel Angel in Antarctica. Oh, my goodness. He said he had to church in from Antarctica one more time. Thanks so much for doing that. Will Palittle wants me to say that OU sucks. I don't really know why. I don't know what's going on there. But OU sucks. Miguel DeVella is here. Brian Wright, Patrick Shannon, Liam Shea, Dylan Walker, Hoopstock69 as always, Falk from Denmark, Jay Smooth is here, Zach Schultz, Soso is here from Tempe, Phil Zoff, a little bit is here. What's up? Kai Buster Nakamoto is here. Al, did you let me back in the group chat? Is his question.
I wouldn't even know how to delete someone from a group chat. In fact, we had that issue with a separate friend group, and I could have deleted them, I guess, and I just had to start. I just started a new one with different people. Oh. It's just way easier.
John Paris and Broken Arrow, Tyler Field. Soso says that, Andrew, your commitment to your craft has inspired me to start the road of changing my career to something I am much more passionate about. I appreciate you. Thanks so much for sharing that. My career path has been a wild and weird one, and I am really glad to be where I'm at. So, yeah, go for it. You can do it. Zodic Bars Gaming from Bethany. What's up? Jacob Williams is here. Shrias is here. And I think that's it. Nathan Creamer and Sense and Rose 27 from Lexington. Thanks so much for joining. Al, let's talk development, because this will be the first of many development conversations that we have, because that's what this season is all about. It's taking the players that we have and molding them into players that will hopefully be one day a part of a good Thunder team. And this Thunder team will not be a good Thunder team. They could be a fun and frisky Thunder team, but they won't be good. So I thought it would be good to rank the players in order of importance of development. You want to start at the bottom and work our way up? Well, how do you want to do it?
First, I want to start by talking about some criteria.
Yeah.
Because when I initially was thinking about this, I really was just thinking about ceiling. Like, which of these guys do I think have the biggest ceiling? Because those are the guys that I want to give developmental time to. Which, when we talk about developmental time, we're really just talking about minutes, basically, because that's all we get to see. Obviously, a ton of development happens off the court that we don't know what that looks like. But we can at least see, like, oh, they gave this guy 25 minutes a night. They're really invested in him in a way that, you know, like for last year, like guys like Charlie Brown and Josh Hall, who were only getting like spot minutes for most of the season, obviously for the Thunder, they weren't high on their developmental priority list. So ceiling, obviously, is still a big one, but then also age is important. Position, I think, is important just because of like logistics. Like, you can only play so many guards, so many minutes this season. And on the flip side, like, there's a lot of minutes potentially for the young big men on the team. Mm-hmm. And then the last one was the time until contract decision. Mm. Are you there, Andrew? Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
You're back.
I'm here.
Until contract decision. Because, like, if you have to decide on a guy by next summer, then you kind of want to, like, make sure you know this year. You know, and that'll come up for two guys in particular that I bumped up maybe higher than you might normally think. So I separated my ranking into tiers, because that's what you do when you're smart now, because then
you say it's not a ranking. It's a tier.
It's not a ranking, it's a tier system. And you can, if you want to argue within a tier that it should be reordered, fine. The whole reason I put them in a tier is because I view them basically the same. You know, it gets me off the hook a little bit.
No skin off my back if you think that these guys should be ranked differently, because it's not a ranking.
It's not
a
ranking.
I think it's a hilarious way to do it. And like, Seth Partnow legitimately gets frustrated about it, because he did his tiers, his player tiers. And he, if you call it a ranking, he gets upset. But the truth is, kind of a ranking. Like,
well, it is a ranking because I did rank them within the tiers, but
it is.
I do think it's helpful because there is like a difference between certain players on this team. So I'll just like, just to give you an example, let's start at the top. My tier one was three guys.
Yeah.
You know who they are. Shea, Poku, and Giddy. And I ranked them that way.
Boom.
I'm saying if you wanted to put Giddy ahead of Poku, I really wouldn't have like a big issue with it. Like whatever. Like I could see the argument for that. I mean, he's a much higher pick. So, I mean, he's a sixth pick in the draft. Obviously, he's coming into the league with like more prestige than Poku was. But that's where I would have it right now. I put Poku ahead of Giddy for right now just because I still feel like the upside is limitless. Limitless. It could be anything, I know. Andrew.
I know. I actually wrote a piece. Zach Harper and I are like co-writing a piece about the Thunder. I don't actually know when it will be out. And like one of the questions is about Poku. And like the question is like, can Poku be the number two guy on this team next year? And one, an impossible question to answer, right?
Yeah.
like absolutely impossible because, I mean, you go and look at his stat line from last year and you just think to yourself, absolutely no chance he can be that. But then you go back and watch some of the stuff that he did and even go back and I watched like a bunch of the Clippers game. And you're just like, huh, maybe he can. Or maybe this is possible. Because, and a lot of it will depend on like how much stronger did he get in the offseason. And like I know that he is like extremely dedicated to the game of basketball. And it's something that he wants to be great at, which is like a great first step for him. You know, like there are players that, obviously, like every player wants to be great, but not every player will put in like the work needed. And I think that Poku is at least putting the work in that's necessary to become like the best version of himself. But it doesn't, even if you do that, it doesn't always work. So I'm intrigued. And I do have like a conclusion in the article that I wrote, but obviously I still just don't really know. But he's just so intriguing, so interesting.
Well,
and so much of this will depend on strength.
And what is so exciting is that a lot of his good basketball last year, or better than bad basketball, was played without Shea
because
Shea was hurt by that point. So it's just exciting to think that Poku's about to get all this developmental time with Shea specifically, because I think that will help him a lot as well. Because, I mean, you know, at the end of that season, you know, they were running a lot of point Poku, like, let's just see what he can do. There's a lot of other things he could potentially do in a functional offense with someone like Shea. And so I'm really excited for that. So would that be your top three as well?
Those are my three. And my ranking within the three is Poku, SGA, Giddy.
Wow, Poku over SGA. And again, this is developmental. It's not like saying this one's better than the other.
It's not. Yeah, it's not better than the other. I just think, one, SGA has already reached a level and is doing things where you're like, okay, like if he even just stays here and the team gets better around him, he will reasonably be an all-star, like at least once. You know, like he's there. And I think that he can get better. I mean, he's number two. Like, it's not like he's like number five on my list of like where he needs to be developed. But Poku's ceiling does feel limitless in a way. And he feels like one of these European players, a little bit like Jokic, not like they're the same player, but that they have such a weird, unique skill set. And if they can become the ultimate version of themselves, they could be one of the best players in the NBA. Like, you could see that happening with him. And so to me, like, the development for him is just so important. And the fact that the Thunder held him back out of summer league and wanted to prioritize his body and a specific plan that they have for him, like, shows like how important it is to them. Because they could have just been like, yeah, whatever. I mean, if this were like a team like the Kings or somebody like that, it would have just been like, hey, do your thing. Make sure that you like work with a trainer, come into summer league and play. I think for a lot of teams, he would have just played summer league. But the Thunder are like, they have him like under the microscope with his development, and they want to make sure that things like step by step are being done correctly for him. to be successful. So I think that he is number one just for that reason alone. And he's like the total wild card in this Thunder path back to being a good team again. Like he is like he's the biggest wild card in all of this, because if he somehow hits and you maybe hit in next year's draft, then you're just not as far away as it feels right now, you know, from right. being a good team. So I just think that he is incredibly important to this franchise. And the truth is, like, in 2 years, he could be like number 12 on this list. Like, that's certainly possible, where it's like, oh no, like, it's just not going to work for him. Like,
oh no. You know?
Or he could be the best player on this team. Like, there are just so many outcomes. Like, the range of outcomes is so wide with him that it's just like, okay, let's just see if we can knock it out of the park kind of thing.
Yeah. If he's the best player on the team in a couple of years, something either went very right or very wrong.
Or very, very wrong. Oh. and then Giddy's number three, just because of the fact, one, he's also got a really weird skill set of being 6'9", and like he is legitimately that tall. And then the fact that they took him sixth. You know, he's their highest draft pick to date on this team. So
yeah.
He's got to be up there just because of that fact. And, you know, maybe he would have been in a different, I mean, I don't actually probably wouldn't have been, but we would have a lot more to say about him had we seen more than 5 minutes and 16 seconds of him in Summer League.
Right.
Which was very, very disappointing. But
okay, so we have the same top three, slightly different order. So the tier two yep. is where I think we'll probably branch away from each other. We'll see, though. So I okay. only have two guys in my tier two, and uh-huh. it is Dort and Bazley. And the reason why I put these two so high, I mean, Dort, everyone basically understands, and I think a lot of people would understand Bazley too. I think there's still a lot of people that are really high on Bazley. But this comes down to the time until contract decision, because mm-hmm. Dort only has 2 years left. Like, it's this year and next year, and then he could theoretically yep. be an unrestricted free agent. Now, I don't think mm-hmm. that would happen, because I think the Thunder would like to extend him at some point. But again, like, that's a decision mm-hmm. you have to make in the next, you know, 12 to 16 months. And so you really want to know how much you want to extend Lu Dort for. And so obviously he's going to get a ton of time this year. He's one of the best players on the team. But that's why I put him this high, because I really want to see, like, what level can he get to before the Thunder commit to him? And what does committing to him look like in terms of contract mm-hmm. number? Obviously, Marcus Smart just signed a very nice deal for him, and people immediately started comparing that to Dort, and like, will Dort get something like that? And I think there's a scenario where he plays well enough where, like, they feel forced to, or they feel like he's going to get that on the open market if we let him get there. Mm-hmm. But I also think there's a scenario where he's making more like in the $12 to $15 million range, depending on what happens this season.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most likely outcome. But if you had to pay him more, I don't think it would be that big of a deal, because I do think he's like legitimately good.
Right. So. And then same with Baze. So Baze would be up for a rookie extension deal next summer if they wanted to. Now mm-hmm. we've talked about before, like, they typically in the past have not liked guys to get to restricted free agency, which is why I put him higher on this list, because, you know, we've seen Baze now for 2 years. This is his third season. Like,
yeah,
it feels like a make or break season for Baze for me, because of that yeah. the fact that they don't like guys getting to restricted free agency. They're going to have the opportunity to extend him next summer, so they really have to figure mm-hmm. out what they want to do with Baze long term this season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a yeah. great opportunity for him they to do. Get a ton of minutes as well. So he should continue to get a lot of minutes.
Yeah, although he's got more competition this year, also depending on some player decisions and stuff like that. Like, he'll have more competition. Like, he won't, like, I feel like last year he was just handed a bunch of minutes. I don't know if it's the same for him this year. Like, he's got to earn them, which I think is important for him to be able to come in and be in his third year and earn all of those minutes. I think would be a very important step for him. So I have I have basically four tiers. One is like star potential tier, which is the one that we went through first. Two is like solid starter. Like, can they become like a really good starter in the league? Three is like role player / friend starter type of guy. And then fourth is just like, you're a vet and you're either just a really nice guy or you probably won't be on the team for like super long kind of thing. Nice guy tier. So my starter tier is a little different than yours. I have three guys in it. I have Dort in it. I have Trey Mann in it, and I have Ty Jerome in this tier. Because so Dort, we've already covered. Like, obviously, an elite defender needs to become a better shooter, needs to hone his offensive game this season, which will be a very important step for him developmentally. And then I have Trey Mann and Ty Jerome in there just because the way that both of them can shoot off the dribble is really, really important and a skill that I think would could mesh really well with this group. And just their shooting in general is going to be incredibly important. And they that's a skill that they have that the rest of the guys really don't. And to me, the pull-up three, the ability to hit a spot-up three has become more and more and more important in the NBA. And both those guys have that in their bag. And can they do it at an elite level in the NBA, I think, is the question. And Ty Jerome had a great season last year for the Thunder. Probably underrated just because he did it mostly when they were terrible. But I think that there's, with either one of them, and I don't know necessarily that they could start on this team, but they could come off the bench and play a lot of minutes for this team potentially down the road. And so to me, that's where I would, that's where I stand with that group.
Yeah. So you're looking at it more as like, this is who you would prioritize minutes for. It sounds like.
Yeah. I prioritize minutes and just, those two types of players, like the Trey Mann, Ty Jerome, are guys that I think that the Thunder have always looked for and have always not been able to hit on from the guard spot. And I think both of them have a legitimate chance to do it, to get there. And just to have a guy, I mean, look at how important Seth Curry is to the Sixers
and in
the NBA. I mean, the conversations that are being had amongst Sixers fans and Sixers podcasts and even Sixers beat writers with like a potential trade with the Blazers is, and that not, it's trying to get CJ, like a CJ for Ben Simmons, is how much better is CJ than Seth Curry is the question that a lot of them are asking themselves. And I just find that to be very fascinating because I think the answer is like, he's a lot better than Seth Curry, but does he provide enough difference in value to them? I don't know. And I think that like Trey Mann and Ty Jerome show the ability to be that type of player, you know, especially Ty Jerome. Like Ty Jerome, Seth Curry is not a crazy comp for, you know, between the two of them. Like both not huge guards, both guys that can just really, really shoot it and can affect the game at that level. And I think Ty has at least the ability to maybe be a little bit better defensively than Seth, but neither of them are going to be great. But just the shooting can affect the game so much that like you just have to play him.
Yeah, Ty also falls into the time until contract decision because he is in the same class as Baze, and so he theoretically would be eligible for a rookie extension next summer. Whether they decide to do that or not, I don't know. He's the toughest one for me to figure out. Like I almost wish we could like loan him out to a team where it like makes more sense. Cause I feel like I really believe in Ty Jerome and I feel like he's ready now in the same way that I feel about Dort. Yeah. But the difference is that there are just so many guards on this team. I wonder if they really are going to prioritize Ty Jerome or not, even though I like him a lot. So we'll see.
I think they're going to play a lot of guards. Like I just think that's going to be the case.
I mean, they kind of have to.
Yeah, I think they will. I don't know. And then Trey Mann, just briefly, the ability to hit a three off the dribble, I think, is one of the skills that you look at and like that's like okay, that's the reason you draft him is the three off the dribble, and then the floater and finding his shot in the lane, like he's pretty crafty. He showed that the shot wasn't falling in his two summer league games, but you could see him get to his spots and you know, just creation in general is such an important skill in the NBA, because there's a, I mean, you look at the Suns at in their finals run, and clearly, like, great players, like creators, you know, they have some creators, but I think they lacked really just kind of one more guy that could go and create his own shot. And that's an, it's just an important skill. And, you know, being drafted at 18, like, the likelihood of you becoming something is pretty small, but I think it's a worthwhile investment in him. And I think he deserves to play minutes.
Hey, sure. You know who was 17? Poku.
Oh, yeah, Poku. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Okay, so that was your tier. You had tier two, starter tier.
It's my tier two.
So I'm down to tier three. And so I have four guys in tier three. Again, within a tier, if you want to argue one guy should be higher than the other, I'm cool with it because I basically look at these guys all the same. This is where I came up with. I put within my tier three, Trey Mann, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, Teo, and Ty Jerome. Now,
okay,
the Trey Mann being number one within that tier, basically what you were just talking about. I just feel like it's a combination of a needed skill on this team and a much higher upside specifically for creation skills than some of the other guys below. Jeremiah Robinson Earl, this is one where I moved him that high partly due to position, because watching him in summer league, you start to get ideas like, okay, he maybe could play like a decent amount of minutes as a small ball center. And all of a sudden that completely changes his trajectory, because he has way more minutes available for him if he really is able to do that. And so I think there's a scenario, depending on what happens with Derek Favors, like I don't see Mike Muscala as an obstacle to JRE getting minutes, but I do kind of see Derek Favors in that way. If something happens with Derek Favors and they're able to move him, I could see JRE playing like a majority of the center minutes for this season. And that'd be awesome for him. Like, that'd be a ton of developmental time. And so that's why I put him higher, just because of that position. And then I had Teo and Ty Jerome, which I felt like it was a concession to put Ty Jerome below Teo, because I know I have been branded as the Teo hater. But I also know that a lot of people would put Teo a lot higher on this entire rankings. Which I would get. Yeah. I mean, I was actually impressed. I was looking at his summer league stats, because he had that one game where he was like 0 of 7 from 3. The fact that he ended up at 35.7% from 3 is actually kind of impressive, knowing that he had a game that terrible. Because that's going to be his swing skill. Like, if Teo is able to hit threes, it changes a lot for him, because then he could play kind of in that Ty Jerome role as well. As it is right now, like he just did not have a good shooting season last season. We'll see what happens this season. He's clearly willing to take them, which I appreciate that. Because there are other guys, you know, Thunder Twitter blowing up about Josh Hall because he got such an amazing dunk, which, like, great. But did you know that he only took 1 3 per game in the summer league? Like, 1 3. Come on. What else are we doing? Like, what is the scenario where Josh Hall is going to be a successful NBA player without a shot?
There's not one.
And he's not even willing to take them. He's taking one per game in the summer league.
Yeah, I'm out on Josh Hall. He just doesn't have, and this will be something I'll talk about with some guys in this tier. Like, what does Josh Hall do that's like elite? Like, what's the skill? You know?
Yeah, I mean,
like,
I guess
he does little bits of everything, like little bit of defense, like a little bit of creation, like a little bit off the dribble, little bit of shooting, but like it's just, there's just not enough of any of it. There's not enough substance in any of it to make you say like, okay, like there it is.
Yeah.
Like with like Trey Mann and Ty Jerome, it's like, okay, here's like the two things they do right now. Great, great. We can put them on the floor because of those things.
Yeah, like thinking about it in terms of role, like all those guys, Trey Mann, Teo, Ty Jerome, JRE, like you can instantly think of what their role would be on a functional Oklahoma City Thunder team. Josh Hall, it's like, well, what is he? And I kind of feel the same way about Aaron Wiggins, but he's younger, and so, or he's, I don't even actually know if he's younger than Josh Hall. He might not be, but he's newer.
Yeah, he was a sophomore.
Yeah. So I'm like willing to let that play out a little bit longer. But yeah, with a lot of these just like long guys that aren't really creators, you know, Josh Hall's not really a shooter. He clearly has some, can put it together for some highlight plays. And those highlight plays are usually like either in transition or like getting to the rim in some way. So like that is his skill. But when that's a guy's main skill, like there has to be something else for me to like really buy in.
Wiggins is older.
Wiggins is older. Okay, great. So that's my tier three. So Trey Mann, JRE, Teo, and Ty Jerome. All guys who I would definitely want to give a lot of minutes to this next season. Everyone below this, this is like kind of a break for me because at this point we've had 9 players. That's a lot of guys to play night in, night out. Those are the 9 that I would like to see get the majority of the minutes on this team. After this tier, it drops off to me where now we're talking about like spot minutes, or maybe this guy should go to the G League and get a lot of minutes, or they're old.
Yeah. Which guy, kind of like which guy is going to pop kind of thing. Like if one of those guys pops, like we're in the money kind of. And if none of them do, who cares kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. My tier three, and I had my tier three was a giant tier, but I think that you are more on the nose with it, that it needs to be separated. So I did separate it. So I have 3 guys in it. This is my ranking within this. Teo, JRE, Baisley would be my ranking.
Okay. So
those 3.
Those would be the same 9. We had the same first 9, it sounds like.
Yeah, same 9, just different order. Yeah. I have Teo there. You can see a solid player there. I just need to see, like, what is he elite at? Like, I think that he has elite pace with the way he plays the game. He's not hurried. He knows how to run an offense. You know, like that's like it's a really good thing. But is he ever a guy that you're gonna, when the team is good, that you're gonna want the ball in his hands a lot? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's going to be the case with him or not. So like you can see with that, like you see, okay, backup because of that. You know, because he doesn't have like elite creation skills, not an elite shooter, not an elite passer. You know, he's like pretty good at all those things, but not like great at them. So I have him in this tier just because I see bench player in him, which is fine. Like you need bench guys, you need contributors, like you need top 9 rotation players. And I think Teo can be that for a lot of reasons. So I have him there. I have JRE number 2 on this list for kind of similar reasons that he has shown like the ability to do like all the role player things you want a guy to do. Like he defends, he communicates on defense. He's got good hands. He's got good timing. He could be a good rebounder. He's not like going to be a great shot blocker, but he's at least somebody that'll stand guys up at the rim. And then he's shown he shot the ball pretty well in summer league and shown the willingness to take him. So like, that's great. Like if he can just be 3-and-D, like your modern small ball, like 4-5, whatever he is, like great. Like you can see it. You watch him and you go, okay, great. I can see it. He can finish well around the basket. He's got good touch and just a really nice guy. Really, really sweet man. So really glad that he's on this team. And then I have Baisley 3rd because I'm just confused as to like what is he going to be? Yes, he's versatile. Yes, he can handle for a guy that's his size, and that's great, but he's not been a great shooter. He is not like an elite creator or like a good creator even. So I'm just curious, like what is he? Like where does he fit? If this were a really good team, where does he fit? Like What does he do? Which I think that this season, either he blows up and he shows like elite creation skills and can be like, whoa, like this guy really popped, or it's, hey, we want you to be Trevor Ariza, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we want you to take threes. We want you to defend multiple positions. And like, that's what we want you to do. And then, you know, when available, attack a closeout and make the right read, whether that's pass it off or finish at the rim. So I feel like he needs to be, I don't like to box in young players because he's still a really young player. Like, he's not a finished product by any means. But I just, the last couple seasons have, I guess I just haven't really seen what I wanted to see from him to become like a starting level player in the NBA. Like, I just,
well, because
he's got a ways to go to get there.
Yeah, so much of his development offensively has been driving to the rim. Like, he especially when he came back in the second half of the season, that was like the thing that we were all noticing. Like, he is being way more aggressive than he ever was in the past, which is great. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, I still would rather him shoot. I would be way more interested in him if he shot 37% from three or whatever. And if he becomes a shooter, like, all of a sudden everything else starts to fall into place, because you can see more of a role for him. He almost had like that Poku thing where when he was first drafted, he really had this feeling of like he could be anything. And obviously when you think that, you're going to think about like the ceiling, where Darius Bazley is like one, like a primary creator on your team. Mm-hmm. And I don't think mm-hmm. I'm there anymore. I mean, he's still obviously super young. He's like 21, so he could mm-hmm. you know, blow up this season. We'll see what happens. But if that's not going to be the case, then it's like, okay, I could definitely imagine him on the defensive side, because we saw those flashes in his rookie season mm-hmm. where he was like legitimately good at defense. Mm-hmm. And then if he ever put that with a shot, now all of a sudden, all those other things that we've been focusing on, like getting to the rim, they become kind of like secondary or tertiary traits for him on the offensive end, where they're way more valuable because you're not asking him to be that main guy. So I think there's a path there, but again, it all comes back to shooting. Like, he was terrible. I mean, historically bad last year from three. If he can bump that up this season and become a respectable shooter, completely changes his outlook and probably makes the Thunder more willing to do a long-term extension with him next summer. But if he goes through this season again and he's a sub 30% shooter from three, like, I just don't know what you do with that player, even though he's really young. Like, because at that point, can you hear my dog hacking? At that point,
no.
Okay, great. At that point, you're having to like really invest in like a player that doesn't have a great shot, which has happened in the past. But again, you have to remember, like, this is why it's so crazy, because right now, in terms of long term deals, like really long term deals, it's basically SGA, mm-hmm. and then we have all these rookies mm-hmm. that have like, you know, non guarantees, or you can get off of their deals at some point. When you start locking in like Dorton Bays, like all of a sudden, like, you are locking in contract spots on this team, knowing that you have all these other first round picks coming in. So it's like, do you really believe in Bays that you want to not just give him developmental time? Now you want to give him a huge contract, lock him in, and you're also going to be potentially drafting a big guy next year. So that's why this season is so big for him. But yeah, I think it's nice that we have the exact same top nine. And wouldn't you agree that after this nine, there's a drop off? Like, the guys below here will get playing time, but in terms of developmental priorities, it's a different, we're talking about
different. It's a huge drop off. Like, all the guys in this group are either like, was Jared like top 32 guys drafted, right?
Right.
Was Tail like 34 or whatever he is?
Yeah.
And then like Dort just like obviously popped enough to be a starter in the NBA, you know, and like played really good minutes in a game seven or first round series, you know. He's there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm disappointed in Bazley's progress so far, but I still have him there just because I think that he still has a shot to get there. He's got the talent to get there. And so I'm intrigued to see what he looks like, but I can see I have everybody else above him just because I can see the path a little more clearly. Like the top three guys, yeah, like they've got tremendous talent. Like Dort, Trey Mann, Ty Jerome, I can see the path a little bit easier. Yeah. Even with Tao and JRE, like they've got at least like role player skills. With Bazley, I still question like, okay, what's the skill? Like versatility. Well, versatility is not really a skill. It's like just, you know, an attribute of him because of his size and agility. But like, is he really even that elite at that? Like, I don't know. So I just need to see it. I just need to see more. And some of that, he played better in the second half of the season too. So I'll give him room to do that.
Like, do you think like Jerami Grant is a realistic comp in terms of like,
that's like
path?
That's like the highest
not
level
even
outcome.
Not even like, don't think about Detroit Pistons Jerami Grant. Just like Nuggets, yeah. OKC Thunder Jerami Grant. Like that role.
That's high level outcome. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. It's like similar body types, similar athleticism. Yeah. High level outcome for him is what Jerami did. But Jerami showed more earlier on with the Thunder than Baze has so far.
Well, I feel
especially as a defender.
Right. Yeah. I feel like Jerami, when he was here, it was like, we just want you to defend. And if this guy develops a shot, that'll be awesome. But so much of his focus was defensively.
Yeah. And do you feel confident if you could like had them change places on those teams that Bazley would have played the same amount of minutes that Jerami did? Like, I just don't feel like, I don't feel, I have the same level of confidence.
Yeah, it is kind of, oh, okay. I'm looking now. So even in his first season, wow. Yeah, I kind of forgot that he got it to 39% from three. Jerami did. But even in his first season, he was shooting 37.7% on super low attempts, but he was still already there. And then he dipped 29.1 and then went back up.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've split the next group or all the rest of the guys into three tiers, Andrew.
I have two.
Really drilling it down. So I did a separate tier four. You could even call this 4A, 4B. 4A, Isaiah Roby and Aaron Wiggins. Just because for Roby, I've already seen a little something. And so I would prioritize his minutes over the guys below him. Same with Aaron Wiggins. He's new. Saw some things. Mm-hmm. You know, I was pushing back against getting excited about Aaron Wiggins in summer league. But I will say that, like, he popped more than, like, Josh Hall, Charlie Brown, Jalen Horde, all those other guys ever did for me. Like, I noticed Aaron Wiggins in a basketball game way more than I have for those other guys. Outside of like a random Josh Hall, really nice dunk. Like Aaron Wiggins, he stood out in a way that those guys never did for me last year. Of course, we're talking about summer league versus the NBA, but still. And then in tier five, I would put like the Josh Hall, Charlie Brown, Vit Krejci, which just throwing him in there because you mentioned him earlier. I was like, oh, I don't have him. And then I guess Jalen Horde. I didn't have Jalen Horde in here either. I know you just said on Twitter you were a Jalen Horde guy. Potentially.
Little bit of a Horde guy over here.
A little bit of a Horde guy.
I could see Horde moving into the next, to the tier above.
Above like the Josh Hall. Or are you talking about into like the...
Into like the Bazley, JRE, Tao tier. Like it wouldn't shock me if he did. He's got toughness and versatility. I don't know what he is as an offensive player, but... I don't know. Like I can see the defense stuff even a little bit more clearly than I do with Bazley. But Bazley's obviously like a way more versatile offensive player.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's still down there. Yeah, my fourth tier, which is like maybe somebody pops in this tier. Like maybe. And if not, like these are just end of bench. Like who cares if they do or don't pop? Like there's not a giant investment in any of these guys. It's Wiggins, Roby, Krejci, Horde, and Hall. And obviously, like, Roby is, like, pop more than all those guys, but I want to see, similar to Bazley, like, there's going to be competition for those minutes, and, like, can Roby play over JRE? Can he play over Bazley? Like, he could win the spot over both those guys. Like, I wouldn't shock me, but I'd probably put both those guys above him just to start the season just because of where the draft pick investment they have in them. But yeah, I don't know. I most likely all five of these guys in this fourth tier won't be in the league in like 3 years. You know, like that's probably the most likely outcome there, and maybe one or two of these guys will pop. And like Vit, like we just don't even know. Like, is he going to play in the NBA this year? Like, I have no idea. He hadn't signed a contract. I don't know. I know he's been working out here. He was with the team. He was very excited, clapping on the bench a lot for them. I don't know.
And then my final tier. So if that was 4A, 4B for me. My final tier five, all the older guys. Derek Favors ranked him first because, you know,
he's probably going to get minutes,
and he's the guy that they maybe not necessarily want to develop, but they want to showcase. They want people to know that Derek Favors can still play basketball. So I put him first.
He's available.
And then Kenny Hustle, Gabriel Deck, who I don't even know if he's on the team, and then I put Mike Muscala last.
I don't think he is, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Mike Muscala, it's like, what's left to develop here? He just got a really nice contract for a guy of his talents. Great.
Nice guy.
You know what?
Great guy.
Hang out at the bottom of tier six. Doesn't matter. We love having you here.
Yeah.
Not invested in your development at this point, but very invested in you.
No.
The person. Very invested in Mike.
Yeah. Third tier is like just you are what you are. And I hope the two of you are traded this season kind of thing. Because I think this is kind of your... Of everybody else, like everybody else is young. Everybody else is on some sort of developmental curve. These three are not. You know, these three are like NBA quality role players to a degree. Like Muscala probably less so than the other two. But like Kenrich can help somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
I like him a lot. I think that he and Favors are, and Muscala to a degree, are all... They're not like significant floor raisers, but still like they're floor raisers to a degree because they're not going out there to try to figure out who they are. Like you can make the argument that everybody outside of SGA and Dort are going out there on the court to figure out who they are in the NBA. And there is a value in knowing who you are and what you do. And Kenrich knows what he is and knows what he does. Same for Muscala, same for Favors. And so, I mean, the threshold of what you could get, I mean, I think that they had offers for Kenrich at the trade deadline, which was maybe like one or two second rounders, and they didn't bite on that. I think they really like him. I think the coaching staff really likes him and likes his influence on these guys. Degnall talked about how tough he is. And so like maybe he's one of the staples of the locker room. And also the Thunder, I think, have made a commitment. And they did this even with the first team, is that they made a commitment to have some veterans on the roster that could help this team and make them better and more professional. And perhaps Kenrich and Mike Muscala are just going to be the guys to help them do that, you know, to bring a level of professionalism similar to what Hank would. If you're on the stream, you can see Hank bring just the level of professionalism just up a little bit to the pod.
He loves talking ball. I think the concern, you talk about those three guys as floor raisers. You know, Muscala is definitely a floor raiser offensively, and that I'm not really worried about because the offense was so bad. Yeah. Like, I actually would appreciate that. The other two guys scare me because they are definitely floor raisers defensively. Like, if you put out a starting lineup that had Dort, Kenrich Williams, and Favors in it, like that's probably going to be pretty good, right?
Pretty good.
You have like Shea, Shea and Baze with those guys, like that's probably a pretty good defense, knowing Degnault's system and everything. Yeah. And that scares me.
I don't think they start those guys. I'd be pretty surprised. Hey!
Yeah, I would hope
somebody else invading
right now. Actually, what do you think the starting lineup will be? I'm starting to believe that Giddey will come off the bench and kind of run the second unit. Because I do think the only locked in guys are Shea and Dort. And then I think Poku is a pretty good bet. And I think they will start
my 3-year-old's in here bussing in.
I think they will start with Favors, don't you think? If he's on the team.
Yeah. SGA, Dort, Giddey, Poku, Favors is my prediction.
I almost think they'll start Baze and bring Giddey off the bench.
It's very possible. I mean, that's partly a prediction just based on my own rankings and excitement level, you know?
Yeah, like what you would want to see.
And also just the investment, too. I think that it says something, I don't know. You're a really bad team. I mean, look, we looked at the Western Conference at the end of the pod last week. Like, this is going to be a really bad team in the West.
Yeah.
And to me, if you pick a guy six, like, you just have to start him.
Yeah, it is. It is crazy to think that like a team this bad wouldn't have room to start the sixth overall pick. Like, that's true. What are we doing at that point?
Yeah, to me, it like shows the investment level that you have in them, you know, and the investment level is really high with Poku as well. You know, they traded to get him, you know, significant like assets, like a nice player in Rubio. And picks to get up there. Like, it's not an insignificant investment, and they are pouring a ton of resources into him as well. So, not that they aren't Bazley, but I just think the level is different with Poku. So, that's what I would do. And also, it just kind of, I think Giddy, we talked about like the lack of like elite creation stuff with Bazley. Like, Giddy's got like, is already an elite passer at his size. And is an elite competitor. So I would rather see them play together. I think it's more important to see, like, do Giddy, SGA, and Poku mesh at all? Like, can you play those three together, and what does that look like? I think it's more important than, like, does Bazley mesh with them? Like, I'm kind of like, meh.
Yeah, it is. But on the flip side, like, that could be a horrible defensive team, a horrible offensive team. If like Giddy and Poku are still shooting in like the low 30s, high 20s from three, and then you have Favors. I mean, it could potentially just be brutal in terms of spacing for Shea. I think if you could make the argument that bringing Giddy off the bench helps him ease into it a little bit more, because he even said it in his press conference, like, sure. I'm so much more, like, all of last year I just played on ball the entire time. Like, yeah. I'm going to have to develop my off-ball skills at some point. And maybe starting him or putting him in the bench and letting him lead that unit kind of eases him into that a little bit more, because he can be that guy for the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to play him at the end of quarters, like the end of the second half, the end of the game with Shea, and see how that works out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I think that that makes sense logically. Yeah, I could see that happening. I think there's a lot of things that they can do. And the good thing about this roster and these players and the personalities that are on the team is that I don't think that anybody's going to have a problem with wherever they're put in the rotation. So that's good. And I think like it's going to be interesting. Like, somebody's not going to play. Like, one of like Roby or somebody's not going to play.
Yeah.
You know, you can't play 13 guys. You know, and they're not going to play 13 guys every night. I think they maybe play 12 guys every night, which, like, our top nine, Poku, SGA, Giddy, Dort, Trey Mann, Ty Jerome, Teo, Jerry, Bazley, plus Kenrich, Muscala, Favors. Like, there's 12.
Yeah.
So, like, Wiggins, Roby, Vitt, Horde, Hall. Like, those are maybe, like, somebody's going to be the odd man out. And maybe Roby isn't the odd man out. Maybe it's somebody else. You know,
yeah.
Perhaps it's Muscala that's the odd man out and Roby plays his minutes. Like, I don't know.
And there still could be moves to come, because even though we feel like we know what's going on with Deck because of that report, like, that still hasn't been confirmed yet. But that would at least clear up one spot. I mean, there's going to have to be spots cleared up regardless. I think based on the fact we've heard nothing about Vitt, like, we can kind of like think about him.
You can put him on the... You can put him out of the rotation.
Yeah,
totally,
or like we just as like a blue candidate, which I feel that way about a lot of these guys. Like, I would rather Aaron Wiggins play on the blue this season, because he would get way more minutes than trying to force him into this lineup. And man, I know I say this like every week, but it just gets you excited and nervous about like the future, knowing how many picks are coming and knowing that you have to replace... A lot of these spots will be replaced with young guys. And that's why, like, Dort less so, but especially Baze. Like, this is such a huge year for Baze. Because
it is.
I could see him not being on this team next year if it doesn't go great this season. I could also see him like continuing what he did last year, but then developing a shot this year, and all of a sudden we're talking extension in the middle of the season for next summer. So that that is exciting.
Yeah, it is a weirdly important season for a lot of these guys. So on a team that doesn't not going to do anything that like matters very much, it is like a weirdly important season for a lot of these guys. So there's still going to be a lot of intrigue, I think, around this group. So, and then the top level guys, like, I'm just excited to see them play and play together. Like Poku, SGA, Giddy, like, we've never seen it. Like, what does it look like to have these like three guys that, you know, can be primary on ball players, but they're all like different shapes and sizes, and like their games are all different. Like, what does that look like? I think that they're intriguing. You know, that's a good thing about this team, that, you know, they are going through a process here of like, they're at least going to be, I think they have a lot of like fun characters on the team that are going to be fun to watch. So
I was trying I was trying to figure out how many minutes Poku has played with Shea thus far. I'm looking through the stats as we speak, Andrew. How many would you guess? How many would you guess, Andrew?
200, 300.
I don't know. What do people in the chat think? Send out your ideas. The answer is 196. Andrew, you're only four off.
Wow. Wow, how about that?
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, not a lot.
Yeah, not a lot.
Not a lot. Let's see it. Let's see more of it.
We're going to see a lot of it.
Okay. Al, anything else that you want to share with anybody before we go?
I've decided to get seriously into the Premier League this year. I'm getting up on Saturdays watching games. I picked a team. But if anyone out there...
What's your team?
Well, so this was very hard to do because obviously you don't want to pick a really good team because then you're like cheating.
Yeah.
And I actually liked the idea of picking a team that has a chance to be relegated because I thought that would be exciting. But I don't want them to be like one of the most likely teams to be relegated. So I picked my team, Andrew, Brighton. Mm-hmm. Brighton, the Seagulls, Andrew. Brighton and Hove, Albion. I like them because they have a seagull as their logo. They have a really nice logo. And they're a coast town, which is cool. And so I've been watching I already got jerseys coming in the mail for myself.
Nice. Nice.
But anyways, if anyone out there has recommendations for podcasts, because there's so many out there and I don't know which are good. So if anyone has any Premier League podcasts, let me know.
The Athletic's got some.
I've actually
Premier League stuff.
Yeah, I've been very impressed with their coverage.
TIFO? You've been watching any TIFO videos?
What is TIFO?
Extremely. They're like, they make these videos for us, and they are extremely popular.
Really?
Extremely popular. Yes.
About the Premier League.
The Athletic UK. The Athletic UK YouTube page is like huge, massive.
Well,
like terrifyingly huge.
Yeah, well, I choose this like team that I guess compared to the other teams is like relatively small. But I went on the Athletic and it's like, nope, they have a beat writer for them and they have like their own page.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the cool things that the Athletic does if you aren't aware, and you can get it all for the $3.99 a month if you go to theathletic.com/downtodunk, is like you get all this stuff. And
it's an insane deal once you start getting into more sports, because like I'm into fantasy football as well, and so like Jake Seeley is one of the best guys in the business, and you get all of his rankings and everything through the Athletic.
Yep.
So yeah, once you like like two or three sports, the Athletic is a no-brainer.
These Ask Ornstein videos are just like wildly popular.
Ask Ornstein
are wildly popular on YouTube. So.
Okay.
Yeah, David Ornstein. He does a show. He'll be the guy.
Check him out.
He'll be the guy.
We should have him on. Compare Premier League teams to Thunder players.
Hey, David Ornstein.
There'd be like 10 people who'd be into
that. What's your Jalen Horde take? Ornstein. Yeah, the Yeah, there's no way. There's probably like four people that would be like very into that, like very, very into it. And then everybody else would be like, what is happening? What's going on here? Including me. Oh, man, that's awesome. Thanks so much for listening to our show. Be sure to check out the Athletic NBA show. Slam and Jam is back this week. And our guy Trey Kirby is going to come on the show to talk to answer the question, are the Bulls back? I don't know. Probably not, but maybe.
Find out.
Maybe
this
they
week.
Are. Or yeah, listen in. So super excited about that. Trey is the man. I'm excited to Trey is the man. Trey man. Very excited to pod with Trey. So it should be really fun. So look out for that. Should be released maybe Friday, maybe Saturday. I don't know. Everybody complained last time that I released it on a Friday that they would rather have it on a Saturday. So if you're listening and have a preference, just let me know. Doesn't really matter either way to me. So hope you guys have a great, great rest of your Wednesday, and we'll talk to you guys again on Friday.